the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Whatever do you need a dollar for, Sarah?
Well, I was going to ask you for some Chex Mix.
Oh, I walked right into that one, didn't I?
I cannot believe you ate all of that by yourself.
Chex Mix is gone.
That, he brought like four huge bags of it.
Yes, he did. They were all delicious. I don't deserve to live.
You said you were going to share.
Shut up! I hate myself. I wish I was dead.
Who lost any bicycles?
Shut up! Never! I've never bicycled, ever. It's all been a lie. I bicycled the other day. I bicycled on Sunday. Four long-ass days. Four long Chex Mix-filled days ago. You know, in April 19th, you know, did you realize the listener party is 3 weeks from today?
Oh.
3 weeks from today? I am so overweight. I'm not.
It's not fair to have one after the winter, you know, we've been eating a little bit.
Seriously. Three weeks. Three weeks from today.
His weight never fluctuates. We're kind of squishy.
It never changes. I only walk about 4 miles straight uphill to get to work. I'm an outrunning muggers on the max. I don't have a model. Leave me alone. Okay. It's 503-733. I mean, I'm spongy. That's my only thing. I'm just flabtastic. Why are you going to do that? Why are you going to make a puffy face at me?
We all go through times where we let ourselves go.
You know what I got? I got that. It's the chin. That's what I get. I get the waddle.
Mine's the one right here.
Yeah, you get the Campbell kid cheeks. I get the waddle.
Do I have the Camel Kid cheeks?
No. But I'm sorry, that's more of a coloration thing. You kind of do get a rosy...
When I get fat, I turn rosy? You should stop talking, though.
Wait, hold on. When you get fat, you turn rosy.
Well, it's just that play to run over what the toilet says!
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the city that never sleeps, the city of industry, New York City. CNN radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. Been eating a lot of Chex Mix. How are you?
Pretty good. Enjoying myself here.
Okay. All right. Hey, so remember yesterday when you were on the show with us? Oh, wait a minute. No, that didn't really happen.
I know.
What's that about?
I owe you a huge, huge apology.
¿Dónde está l'amor?
Don't they stop my brain?
I don't know. We were sitting here looking sadly at the phone, a phone that would never ring.
And I was so prepared, too, because it was a great story to talk about yesterday, and I just got caught up in some other news items, and next thing I know, I looked at the clock, and it was 5 o'clock.
Well, that's okay. I'm not going to take it personally much. Well, that's okay. We'll talk about it today. Well, first, two things. First things first. Let's talk about Rudy Giuliani. And, you know, the more you kind of deal with the show, you will learn that I'm just sort of a fan of... I'm a political junkie just because I view politics as the last great American sport. That's really where I come down on this. And Rudy Giuliani, I just don't... My thoughts on this are just so wide and far-ranging and far-field and so forth. I can talk about Hillary Clinton and the presidency and Barack Obama and John McCain and all day long. I can just weigh in on this stuff. But today it's Giuliani, and so Giuliani picked up the endorsement. Talk about just a useless, pointless endorsement that gets you nothing. It's like being endorsed by one of those guys from Chips. Do you know what I mean? Rudy Giuliani endorsed by Steve Forbes. Well, hey. You know, I mean, who does this possibly impress?
Well, you know what this really has to do with? It's not so much the endorsement. Like, Steve Forbes signed on as the co-chair for the campaign as well. So that means that Steve Forbes can throw his $435 million behind Rudy or however much you want. But it'll actually go a long way towards helping Rudy Giuliani raise funds for his campaign.
Now, is this... I hate to dovetail, or no, that's the wrong word. I hate to... deviate right here. I think I'm suffering from low-grade aphasia today. Is Steve Forbes, Malcolm Forbes, Forbes Magazine, what is the lineage and the relation there?
Son.
He is Malcolm Forbes' son, really?
I believe so.
Malcolm Forbes, you're saying?
Let me do a little bit of quick research, but I think that's what I read yesterday.
Well, okay.
But he's worth $435 million.
This is really a thing that is advantageous for Giuliani in a financial sense.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a financial thing. I mean, he also signed on in some role as a, quote, senior policy advisor to the campaign. But I'm not even sure, you know, what that means. You know, what policy will Steve Forbes be advising him on?
Maybe how to be creepy.
And Steve Forbes actually ran for president himself once.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Yeah, he was a real lightning bolt.
And most people forget that that even happened.
Oh, I didn't forget. He was fantastically uninspiring. He was actually so dull and uninteresting that that became its own sort of fascination for me.
Maybe he'll make Rudy look more interesting.
Rudy Giuliani could use a little tempering down, I think. He could use to have that temper of his reined in a bit. Because here's the thing. McCain, in my assessment, looking at the field of Republicans right now, you've got Fred Thompson, who's sort of a character actor and so forth. Fred Thompson, who it's all well and good that he's got a little bit of face recognition and whatnot, except I saw that James Dobson and the Focus on the Family crazies have decided to make him their latest target. So the Focus on the Family people and the evangelical Christians have put their sights on Fred Thompson and said that they do not, and I'm quoting now, that James Dobson does not believe that Fred Thompson is a Christian, so he's going to have difficulty getting the evangelical vote. John McCain used to seem crazy in principle. Now he just seems crazy and angry and kind of bitter about everything.
He's not aged well either,
No, he just looks like he's carrying around just a whole lot of stuff on his shoulders that's just slowly breaking him down. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's the impression I think you get when you see him these days.
And so you got Giuliani, who I would have discounted and who I do discount sometimes because, pro-choice, pro-stem cell research, pro-gay rights, divorced adulterer, whatever, which doesn't really scream like Republican credentials, but I guess maybe if it's a last man standing kind of a thing, it might be him.
Well, you know what it is? Giuliani definitely strikes a chord with the real core of the Republican Party, you know, the smaller government, less taxes, and that's sort of what he's all about. If you break him down and look at what his policies are about, it's all about, you know, a free market economy and lowering taxes, which is what he did here in New York. So there's a huge segment within the Republican Party, not the conservative Christian wing, but the actual hardcore Republicans. He resonates with them because they don't want government in our bedrooms either. They're all about, you know, lower my taxes and open up as many free markets as you can.
Well, I always tell Jim Roop this, that I want to start a new party, which is called the Leave Me the Hell Alone Party. The Get Off My Back and Leave Me Alone Party. And I think that I could get like 85% of the popular vote with that.
Isn't that something like the libertarians believe?
Now, the libertarians, here, let me just tell you this. Let me ask you this first. Now, if you feel like answering this question, and I understand if you do not, but I don't know if you are libertarian. In fact, don't answer. But if you are a libertarian or if you understand that party at all, I don't wish to offend you. I'm simply going to say this. Here's the thing about libertarians, because Portland is lousy with libertarians. We are packed to the gills with libertarians here. And the thing about libertarians is, whatever. I mean, I don't care what anybody does. You know, be a Democrat, be a member of be a Republican, be a Green Party, be whatever. I don't care. I'm just saying two things about libertarians. A, in my opinion, a lot of libertarians are just a-holes who like to put a fancy name on it. They're just guys who are just sort of dicks, but they want to codify it and then they want to call it like a political choice, as opposed to just admitting the fact that they're just kind of jerks. B, I think a lot of libertarians are secretly like closet anarchists. That's the thing. Do I believe that? I mean, it's not like the government is like efficiency is job one with the government, but I don't really know that handing everything over to corporate interests is like a recipe for efficiency and morality in business dealings. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's interesting here in New York. We've never really had a successful libertarian candidate. So the ones that do appear,
because they're all crazy. They're all crazy. I'm not saying libertarians are crazy, but libertarian candidates. Guys, that's why it was so interesting when Howard Stern was talking about running on the Libertarian ticket a while back. The guys who are the public face of the Libertarian Party are nutcases. I say that having nothing to do with their ideals or them as people morally or ethically, but the public can smell crazy on somebody. And they all have that, a lot of time in my basement, I spend a lot of time reading Ayn Rand and going to Star Trek conventions, I've never known the touch of a woman. And here's the other thing. When libertarian candidates, was that guy Harry Brown, was that his name, a couple years ago running on the libertarian ticket? And they said, like, what did I know I'm ranting here, but they said, what is the first thing you do if you're elected? He said, my first act when I'm elected is to abolish the CIA, FBI, and IRS. I'll do that the first week I'm in office. I'm a big fan of grand gestures. That's not really the way to get Americans to vote for you, because it just makes you sound like you've come a little unhinged.
Yeah, so, it's not like you would have any opposition to doing something.
Yeah, seriously, it's not like there are checks and balances or anything. You can get rid of those. So, anyway. Hey, real quick, I know that I'm just all over the board and I'm over-caffeinated today, but let me actually you this. What is this business of, is it fence post riding, plowing? What is it?
And plowing.
It's the, and I swear to God, the CNN prep sheet refers to it as, quote, the latest craze among teens.
It really is, because if you go on YouTube, of course, everybody's favorite site now for doing things that show that you might have a screw loose, you see many videos of these teens or young adults, for no apparent reason, literally diving through, you know, these PVC fences that, are up all over suburbia these days, and apparently they just go down really easily. So they sort of take a dive at it and plow right through it. They videotape it, and they get a kick out of posting it on the Internet. So this family on Long Island had it happen to them over a half a dozen times.
Oh, wait, so hold on. So describe this to me one more time, what the fence plowing is.
They will literally just take a dive with their body and sort of body check the fence and go right through it and just literally smash through the fence
what
with
kind
their
of,
body.
Why?
That's the big question.
Goddamn people are stupid. I don't understand.
And they videotape it.
Okay.
Why? Why would you videotape something that you know is illegal and then...
And why would you do...
Videotape all over the Internet.
And why would you... Well, because you're dumb. Why would you do something voluntarily that if someone were to do it to you forcefully, you would consider a criminal assault?
It's really, you know, there seems to be no rhyme or reason other than they're bored in the suburbs.
Well, that's fine. You know what? I'm all in favor of this because X number of these people who engage in it, anybody who engages in an activity this dumb, X number of, they shouldn't be breeding anyway, and X number of them are going to sustain some sort of life-threatening injury or they're going to be incapacitated in some way and they will be unable to have dumb kids of their own. So I'm all in favor of that. I thought it was sort of like a mailbox baseball kind of thing, but this is like several hundred layers stupider than that.
They just keep elevating the stupidity bar. They keep taking it one step further, you know?
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
And
well, there you go.
It's really funny, though, because the video that's of this particular incident on Long Island that captured so many people's attention, it's getting a lot of press coverage because there's a really clear picture of this kid. Maybe he's 18, 19, as he's rolling through and you see his face. So, you know, there are definitely people out there who are going to recognize him and rat him out.
God, I hate people. This is like that idiot thing they're doing in Los Angeles now. What is it called? It's called ghost writing, I think it's called.
And I'm not familiar with that.
It's another thing that the youth are into. I believe it is called ghost writing. And if I'm wrong about that, somebody will call and, you know, whatever, yell at me about it. But I swear to God, this is an activity among some of the youth taking place in our larger metropolitan cities. If you have a car with a long hood on it, like in an SUV or whatever, you know, car with a good-sized hood. The deal is that you, I swear to God, and this is, again, all over the YouTube, where a kid will get, put his car, how do I put this? They'll be in a parking lot. Some idiot is in his car, a bunch of bystanders are sort of circled around watching him. He will be driving, idling forward in his car. He will slide the car into neutral, so the car is still rolling forward, or sometimes he'll leave it in drive, so the car is just going forward very slowly. And then he will clamber out of the car, get up on the hood of the car, and begin, like, breakdancing on the hood of the car while it's rolling forward unattended in a parking lot. Now, inexplicable as this may be, apparently some kids are dying from this, and it's all over you. There's really something, it's like a lot of paint chips in the womb or something. There's something really wrong with people when they're doing things like this, and I, for one, am happy to see them removed from the gene pool. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's really funny how far this is going, because the other day there was a story about some guy who was in a video chat room on the website Pal Talk.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, you heard about that?
Now, are you aware of the Pal Talk connection to your job?
No, actually not.
Gary Baumgarten, who was the New York correspondent for CNN prior to your arrival, he left CNN, I don't know, a couple months back, and his new job now is he is the program director for the news department of Pal Talk.
Really?
And Pal Talk was the website where this guy got online. He's like, hey, look at me hang myself. And he just, like, tossed a rope over his shower rod or whatever and just sort of right there, like, online.
And the people who were watching him in this chat room, you know, they weren't taking him seriously. He was threatening for hours and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah. I mean, Yeah, I mean, the internet has opened up this whole new world to people who otherwise would have never gotten attention, and they're doing everything they can to get attention, including killing themselves.
I'm afraid we have no chance, no choice here but to shut it off, Steve.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, enjoy your day, my friend, and we will, if we don't talk to you tomorrow, we will have speaks with you soon, my brother.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve Kastenbaum. Thank you, sir. All right.
Well, that sounded good.
There are 4,000 chat rooms in Pal Talk. Where's the lynching room on here?
I'm sorry?
Well, they have an arts ballroom dancing, languages, music playing, billiards.
I don't think lynching was the word you were looking for there.
Maybe not.
It's 503-733-2970. Let me just take this call here.
I want to get to know you, chat room.
Are you talking to the chat room?
I am.
Isn't that right, Ducky?
I want to get to know you, chat room.
That's what it says here.
I think you're talking about...
Then there's Candy's chat room.
Okay.
What happens in Candy's room?
Oh, you know.
She looks like an attractive young lady. It says Candy 1985.
Candy's into that.
Candy? Pat, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Hi. Pat?
Hi.
Hi. Yes. Well, I don't know. Are you? Yes, you are, Pat. I'm sorry. You're on hold for a while. Thank you. What's up?
On what, huh?
Yes.
Hey, you know, I just had a thought, Rick. Listen, this thing about the rap song and all that other stuff. And
oh, the Karl Rove song, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. I've been accused of overanalyzing things, but look, when you think about it, rap pretty much largely is criticizing everything in society, everything and everybody. And when you look at it, really what they're doing is giving it back to them. They're mocking the criticism of the rappers. And so now this sort of gives you a chance to be assailing their mockery, you know, the big feeding frenzy.
You know,
so in a way, it's just sort of a, I don't know what, an ascending scale or a circle or something.
You know that thing you said earlier about overanalyzing stuff?
Yeah.
I would revisit that thought in your head if I were you.
Rick, I think we need a new direction.
Okay, well, there. You can always, that's just sort of a punt, but I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Thank you, my friend. All right, 503. You know, we never did get Gary Baumgarten on about that guy who hung himself on Pal Talk. I think
I'm sure he's probably not wanting to talk about
it. I felt like it would be, I know, see, that's why.
Well, he couldn't monitor all 4,000 of these chat rooms.
No, that's
exactly.
True.
Especially if he spends a lot of time in candies.
I know, He did say, by the way, Gary Baumgarten, who runs Pal Talk, or not runs it, but he's the program director for the new, he did tell me, because he sent me a link, he's like, hey, you know, and click here, and you can sign up for it, whatever, and he's like, let me know what your screen name is, and I'll give you full access, including the adult rooms, winky emoticon. He used the winking emoticon.
That guy sure respects you.
No, he knows, look, he knows what I'm talking about. All right, who is this we're listening to here?
This is My Life in Black and White. They're really good. They're a local band.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You'd like it.
All right, this is My Life in Black and White. The song is called Shackletown. Right here on the Rick Emerson radio program. Tim Riley around the corner. You stay there. Rick Emerson radio program. I hold up my hand. A terrible story. Woman victim of disgusting assault in children's book aisle. We'll get to that. 503-7...
Really? And the term disgusting is just wrong.
You want to hear the first headline?
Okay.
Or the first sentence?
Why not?
Hiding behind... This is not from here. This is from Memphis. Well, that explains it. Hiding behind children's books didn't disguise some disgusting behavior at a local bookstore. I'll just read it now. A customer at the Barnes & Noble Winchester location said she was the victim of a disturbing adult crime while she was trapped in the kiddie section. Kiddie is spelled with the less common K-I-D-D-Y-I-E spelling. I guess that's how they spell that. I guess that's the Memphis twist. A man is accused of a very adult act that allegedly took place in the children's section of a bookstore. This story continues. While telling you the victim's story, we must warn you it may not be appropriate for children. Children, tune out now. A Barnes & Noble customer will call this, I swear to God, this has the worst spelling and grammar. Grammar?
I barely knew her.
Now the horn is too much.
Too much, yeah.
Grammar?
I barely knew her.
Okay. Really, I'm reading this story. I know we're gonna go to the news here, but I have to. This is from a news station. Don't they teach people how to spell anymore? What do they teach? I know that I sound like an old man right now, but don't they teach people how to spell and use punctuation properly?
We have Scotty.
That is true. When I was a boy in school, they would teach us. Thank you. When I was a boy, they would teach us how to properly punctuate things so to make your sentence easily understandable. That's all I'm saying. All right. Woman assaulted in children's book aisle. We're just going to overlook the bad grammar here. A man is accused of a very adult act that allegedly took place in the children's section of a bookstore. While telling you the victim's story, we must warn you it may not be appropriate for children. A Barnes & Noble customer we'll call Jill could only find a seat in the children's section Friday evening at the Winchester Barnes & Noble. But her tale is one concerning a very adult subject. A man, Jill says no older than 20, moved from his chair next to her. I know I said I wouldn't criticize. This is how the sentence is written on this news site. This is a Fox News affiliate, by the way. A man, Jill says no older than 20, moved from his chair next to her and stand behind her. I'm assuming they mean and stood behind her. My first thought, they're really smart in Memphis. My first thought, he was trying to pickpocket my purse.
Beautiful, right?
There hasn't been a single sentence in this story that is written correctly. Quote, my first thought, he was trying to pickpocket my purse, end quote, said Jill. His alleged crime was more disturbing. This is the worst written news story I have ever seen in my life. But here we get to the good stuff. So when we last left this poorly written story, Jill was sitting in a bookstore while a man stood behind her. Quote, I felt something on my back. So I turned around and asked him, why are you touching me? Because when I felt that, he says... Because when I felt that, he says, I'm just reading my book. I said, you touched me. Why did you touch me? Jill said she left and alerted management of the man's strange behavior. That's when she noticed a wet substance on her back.
Oh, no.
It's like a popsicle?
Yes, Tim, like a popsicle. A sweet, sweet popsicle.
So the popsicle melted on her?
That was too far. Jill said, I can't even read the rest of this.
Is it porny?
It's porny the clown. No, it's just sentence fragments. Well, whatever.
That's a waste.
Well, we want to know what was on her back.
It was, I think he sneezed.
It's like a sneeze.
A special sneeze between mommies and daddies.
It's like a sneeze, only better.
Oh, I don't have enough.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A man jumped into the Moala River today and didn't come out. Rescue people are at the scene trying to find him. He was last seen going over the rapids up South Moala Forest Road, an area commonly called Party Rock. Well, he couldn't be having much of a party now, can he?
It's Party Rock. Because you would order it.
Mm.
Call Time Life Records now and order Party Rock.
The only party that knows how to rock. Another man reportedly had to dive in more than 5 times to try to save him, but it didn't help, so he called 911. No other impressions available except the man is missing at Party Rock.
Party Rock.
Meanwhile, 100 homeless birds have been adopted in 2 hours.
These are the 100 parakeets we talked about yesterday, some of which forgot how to fly after being cooped up in a small one-bedroom apartment flying around in Seattle. 10 birds were given away to a veterinarian because they had trouble flying. The rest were put up for adoption. A line of 30 people waited at noontime, opening cages and filling out the free adoption certificates to adopt beautiful multicolored birds.
That don't know how to fly.
That don't know how to fly.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Angelina Jolie is leading a double life. That, according to Us Weekly magazine, and senior writer Jolie Bartholomew says one example of this came up as recently as this week.
Right after she adopted Pax, she said that in an interview that she was going to stay home and take care of the kids now that she's four kids and this was her, you know, main project right now. And then just the other day, she was in Chicago doing some work on a movie.
That's right, she used to use heroin, talk about death, and wear blood in a vial around her neck.
Since she adopted Maddox, she's really kind of turned it around and projects this image of this humanitarian, a mother, a caring person. And so, yeah, a lot of what she does is to pretty much, like, further that image.
That is true. Maybe she and Billy Bob Thornton, maybe it's like two inert objects that only become combustible when they are combined. Because once they broke up, she seems really normal. Like, I forgot all about that thing about wearing his blood. And when they broke up...
And talking about, remember on the red carpet when they were getting interviewed and...
Maybe there was blood on that carpet.
No, that's what they were doing right before they got there. And
oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. No fair on me. I don't know what you're
doing. Doing it in the limo.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what she said. That's
and they explained it graphically.
No, it wasn't.
I heard it in my headphones.
No, that is your...
I think you're hearing what you want to hear.
I totally heard that in my headphones.
But nobody else heard it.
All right, no, I'm going to say something exactly how I said it.
No, because I just heard...
You did not hear anything.
You did. You were breathing out and you're moving your lips, and it was audible. It was like
you're
a whisper.
You're crazy.
I was hearing it, I'm sitting here in
this. I totally heard that it was a whisper.
What did she say then?
We just effed in the limo. That's what you said.
You were reading my lips. Here, my Uncle John's calling. Hang on.
When's Uncle John's calling? Is that like your Aunt Flo paying a visit? I'm sorry. I'd like to stay in the studio, but I have to go to the bathroom. Uncle John is calling. All right, so they were crazy. I forgot all about that thing about her wearing his blood and whatever. And the thing is, since they broke up, he's not crazy anymore either. He seems really normal ever since then. So there you go. I do have to say this, though. In terms of full, just in the interest of full disclosure, I have to say that I did find the wearing each other's blood kind of hot in a weird way. I mean, that was kind of
the weirdest things hot. I'm surprised you didn't find Popsicle Boy hot.
I don't find that hot in any way. Unless it's, that is not hot. Unless it's James Spader and Maggie Gyllenhaal. Here's Tim Riley.
Joey Bartholomew says Angelina Jolie may be addicted to portraying a certain image that might not quite be that factual.
Now that she does all this humanitarian work, I mean, that's really feeding her addiction, and she may not be addicted to drugs, but I think part of what's driving her is this feeling that she gets when she does all this work.
That's right. She has a monopoly on caring. Her recent decisions may be harming her relationship with Brad Pitt.
Shiloh is only almost 11 months old at this point, and so it seems like, you know, he wanted her to kind of, you know, stay at home a little, or, you know, be with the kids a little longer before she brought in another one.
Any more comments about the life of Angelina Jolie?
No, I've been chastised.
I just can't believe you think you have supersonic ears.
I heard you whisper. You were, it's like Jen, when Jen wants to spell out a profane word, thinking that she can do that, which I don't think
she'll notice. Yesterday.
I think Sarah Wagner has done that too. Sarah Wagner, when she was on with the Gymnasium, she would be like, and then we F you, you know, and she would like spell it out, and she would be like, no, and you know, even reaching for the button. Well, anyway, neither of them seems crazy now, so maybe they were only crazy when combined with each other. Really? Somebody has a James Brown question? Well, okay.
He's very
deep. Hi there.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
Uncle Steve here.
Yes.
Have they buried James Brown yet?
James Brown is buried. I believe they did bury him, 3 weeks ago, something like that.
He was cryptified.
Yeah.
He was cryptified. Okay. Well, that's
cryptified.
Okay. Well, my best to all.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you go. Cryptified. There's some sort of kryptonite joke there, but I don't know. I don't know what it would be. Let's see. What else do we have here? This is David. David, hi.
Hey, Rick. What's happening?
What's up, brother?
Oh, you're talking about the Homer Simpson drooling thing, and I got it down pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've been teaching it to my boy, too, of course, nine years old.
That's what fathers are for.
Yeah, it's a tough one, but you kind of get some of the...
That's great and creepy. It's great and creepy all at once. Fantastic.
And also, for the listener party, I don't know if you've used it yet, but it should be the best listener party ever.
Somebody said that we've had, like, best party ever and, like, what, like, best period party period ever. We've had some variations on that. We'll make our final decision at the end of the show, but we've had a few people. That's not a bad suggestion, actually. I do kind of like that one.
Right on. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, sir. There you go. It's David. 503-733-2970. All right. Let's see. Ryan. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
You're talking about that Fox story, that really bad grammar and all
that
stuff.
It's the worst written story, isn't it?
The worst written.
I'm just going to give you the most badly written story. I'm going to read a couple of these. Let's see. Where is this one? Well, first of all, they spell kitty, K-I-D-D-Y-I-E. And then they say, where is this sentence? There is a man, Jill says, no older than 20, moved from his chair next to her and stand behind her. My first thought, he was trying to pickpocket my purse. There's no punctuation of any kind in that sentence, by the way. Let's see. And then there's like commas just sort of... At a certain point in American society, commas just became this thing like salt and pepper. That people just feel like... And apostrophes. If you just sprinkle them randomly throughout a sentence, that some of them will land in the right place, I guess, is how people view it.
Well, I just thought you might find it amusing that I have a friend that used to be a copy editor at the Oregonian.
Uh-huh.
And she told me that the reading level for the Oregonian is 6th grade.
So why am I not surprised by that?
Really? But, on top of that, they want to be, like, really nondescript sensitive stories. So she told me about one time they were going to use the word masturbation in a story.
Right.
And they had to get, like, the CEO's approval to stick it in the story because it's so controversial.
Because Margie Belay's audience, their heads would explode if they were to see that word in print somewhere. They dropped their Franklin Mint plates on the floor. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, there you go. That doesn't surprise me at all. My wife at one point was studying. She took a lot of journalism classes. I think, yeah, Kristen is exactly. Kristen's typing the screen. And I think that is the average for most newspapers. They say to write to like a 7th grade or reading level or something. Well, whatever. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, from last night's American Idol, Gwen Stefani teamed up with the hip hop world's Akon, not the clay one, but the hip hop one, to sing a little ditty.
Why is Gwen Stefani on American Idol? I mean, I'm not a big Gwen Stefani fan.
That just seems like a misstep.
That seems like a step down for her.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand. Oh, I really don't understand. What was it, Prince that went on that show? I didn't understand that. Yeah, but at least, you know, he was sort of, you know, he probably needed a little press. I don't understand why Gwen Stefani would feel the need. I hope she got paid a lot for that. I hope she got paid a ton.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Time for a penis watch.
Here's your penis watch.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start melting away. Take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
This comes to us from Dickey County, North Dakota.
From what county?
Dickey County.
Okay.
A North Dakota woman has been arrested and charged with aggravated assaulting criminal trespassing after biting her boyfriend while he slept. Police say the Dickey County resident broke into her boyfriend's house as he slept. Then, police say Amanda Rail climbed into bed and bit the man in his private area. He called police and was taken to the local hospital where he was treated and released. The 25-year-old Rail was arrested and charged and is currently out on bond. She is awaiting her first court appearance.
So she... This is in what county?
This is from Dickey County.
So she bit him right there in Dickey County.
In the private area.
She bit him in the Dickey area.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She did.
This whole story was a lead-up for that, wasn't it?
It was.
There's your penis watch for Thursday on the
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a-melting away. Take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Rick. I have a great listener party name. This really is a great one. Rick Emerson, Listener Party 10, the North American Fanboy Love Association. Okay, that's fantastic. I'm totally using that for something. Probably not this, sir. North American Fanboy Love Association. I'm calling that right now. We're going to use that for something. Fanboy Love Association. All right, excellent. Well done. That really is brilliant. God bless you, sir. That's from Brian in Gresham, where life is cheap. Thank you. Rick, when are you going to upload the... I'm sorry if I sound a little rattled. This guy sent me the most horrifying picture I have ever seen in my life. It was a picture of some guy with a... He was like, hey, why don't you... This guy sent me a photograph, and the caption was something like, look at this picture of a horrible skin disease. And then, like, what did I do? Did I delete? No, I could view. And then it came, and then now you have to scrub it out of my head.
I can't listen to the horse video.
You have no idea. Well, did you watch the horse video?
God, no.
I'm just saying. You haven't seen, you voted nay on seeing the horse video? I'm retarded. Rick, when are you going to upload pictures of George the Skull to the website? None of you have to come see. You have to come to the listener party. Listener Party 10, which is happening 3 weeks from today. Three little old weeks from today. Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. Barracuda, Rick Emerson, Listener Party 10, whose subtitle, whose name will be announced at the end of today's program. It's the history of the Rick Emerson Show, so we're going to be having a lot of items on display. Including the skull, the human skull that was dropped off and given to us a couple weeks ago. Rick, let's see. Some email that I can't quite read. Let's see here. What do we have? Rick, once you start creating audio sounds with a computer, it's hard to stop. Please listen to the attached.
All Chinese waiters listen to the Rick Emerson Show.
Okay.
Oh, my God, that's gold.
It's pretty great.
Another one?
This portion of the Rick Emerson Show is sponsored by Everybody's Garden Center, 519 Southeast Main. Please don't pet the fish.
Well done. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. This really is the best audience ever.
Oh, love them. Collective hug.
It's true. We really do. We do heart the Rick Emerson audience. All right.
I'm going to show them how much on April 19th, Rick Emerson.
3 weeks from today, Sarah Dillon. 3 weeks from today, 7 p.m., Barracuda, Rick Emerson, Listening Party 10. All right, let's blow through these here, and then we'll come back with the Ministry of Truth at the top of the hour. Greg, hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, I'm going to use this in about 5 years as well, but here we go. Listener Party 10, Svelte and a Swedish Boy.
Listener Party, what is the first part of Listener Party 10 and what?
Svelte as a Swedish boy.
I think it was taught. I think
okay.
It was actually his
oh,
name.
Oh, taught. It doesn't have the same thing, but okay, we'll use that too.
Svelte is still good. Svelte, I like that
Svelte is good or creamy, perhaps.
Creamy?
See, I always have to take a one step farther. I always have to... All right, fine. All right, thanks. All right, there you go. That's great.
I had a facelift.
Yes.
So did Shannon.
And by the way, you look great.
You look gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like a taut Swedish boy.
I beg your pardon?
You're like a taut Swedish boy. You're like 14 years old. It's a gorgeous... Tim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Okay, like I was telling your lovely call screener, you might want to queue up some fanfare or some confetti for this one.
Really?
This is the name, baby.
Now,
this is it. I'm breaking it down for you, and I want VIP to the party.
Now, hold on. Now, before you reveal this, now, you seem pretty confident in this.
That's what I do.
Okay. Now, do you want to take a moment to assess? These are bold statements. Do you want to take a moment to think about it before you reveal it?
No, I really don't need it. But if you've got, like I said, some fanfare queued up, ready to go, you're going to need it.
I'm sure I can think of something.
What do we get to do to you? What do we get to do to you if it's not that good?
Chef's choice.
What?
Chef's choice.
All right. Well, we can't do the your mom's a horror thing. That's kind of a Donna Mike. Okay, well, you'll just, you know, You will just have to confess your shame publicly that you underwhelmed the Rick Emerson Show and audience.
I'm glad to do it.
All right. Okay, Tim, go ahead.
Okay, track with me here. You're aware of the saying, carpe diem, seize the day.
Yes, I am.
Carpe dies, seize the ten. But you don't have to use seize the ten. Carpe dies.
Right across his posterior.
So,
I'm not hearing the fan.
So, carpe dies.
Yeah.
Is it
the ten?
And it's dies, I think, yes.
Okay, however you want to bastardize it. That's your call.
The, Christian has typed on the screen, that payoff is not nearly as great as he talked it up.
Well,
do you have anything else? Is that your, you're leading with your right there? Do you have maybe a backup choice?
Rick's a tiny dancer.
Okay, we're going away now. Thank you, sir. All right, and we're done. Thanks, Tim. Thank you. Kristen, could you come into the studio for a second? We're not going to be critical. This isn't like Marty's woodpecker call from yesterday. I just want to ask you. I want to ask you something before we take a break. This is Chris and Bowie's for Scotty J. Tim, how confident was he that was the best thing ever?
Oh, he was like, oh, you have to get confetti and fanfare out. He called back 3 times.
Really?
For that. Yeah.
Did he seem, so there was no irony there? He really was convinced that was the best thing ever?
Yeah. He thought he had something that was golden.
Yeah. That wasn't really the case. So, all right. Just wanted to make sure that he didn't put that on for us, that really was a thing he was feeling fantastic. All right. Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. I will take a break here in a second. I will come back. I'll play us into the break here. We want to give a little shout-out, as they say, to our peeps in the Young Immortals. And I'm reading this now from their press release. The Young Immortals, a Portland-based rock band.
Who are awesome.
Who are awesome. They did that Hot for Sarah song.
I'm actually just on their MySpace page right this second.
I have the song queued up.
Oh, look at you.
They are the only band from the Pacific Northwest on a Starbucks compilation titled Off the Clock, Volume 1. This is not, I guess it is a plug, but I'm just, they're kind of a cool band. The CD will be released in over 6,000 stores nationwide and in Canada on Tuesday, April 3rd. The Young Immortals are going to be doing 2 in-store appearances next week. First will be Tuesday. Does that mean they play at a Starbucks? Is this them?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I got the song. Yes. I'll play it in a second. So is this what, is it a play at a Starbucks?
I think they have compilations that they sell at Starbucks. And what I recollect is when I worked at Starbucks, we would just have to play the compilations all day. So it'll be playing.
But I think they're
going to
be doing appearances, it says. I don't know if they're playing there or not. Oh, apparently their drummer works at one of the Starbucks, too. This is true. They're called the Young Immortals. MySpace.com/... The Young Immortals, and you'll be able to buy some of their stuff on this Off the Clock Volume 1 CD, which hits Starbucks next Tuesday. Ladies and gentlemen, here they are, The Young Immortals, back after this with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Coming up later on, Jen Lane, Storm Large, etc. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Don't go anywhere, it's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there.
you get away. No one does me like you do. I went looking for trouble.